Boy, do they sound fine. That is my posse, Ed.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that? It's not called a band anymore. It's called a posse. Weird, wild stuff.
That it is, sir. Yes.
Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show. Thank you for subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcast or stream your music. Thank you for following the show at Cape Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We very much appreciate it. And joining me for a one-on-one-ish kind of co-hosting
one
thing.
One. You can't discount the man behind the board.
May I host my own show?
No.
See, this is why you'll always be a sidekick.
That and a laugh.
That too. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Ed McMahon. My Ed McMahon, Andrew Rizzitello.
I will happily accept that title.
You've been called worse.
Yeah.
Maybe not to your face. Trust me, you've been called worse.
No, to my face by you guys, because you're assholes.
But at least we do it to your face.
Yes.
See, if we were assholes.
Real friends stab you in the front.
Of course. What are friends for? With friends like us, who needs enemies?
Exactly.
And behind the board, who's
Ed McMahon? And this is why love him.
Exactly. As soon as we mention it, he's right there. The great Ming Chen on the board, everybody.
Yes, you are correct, sir.
That's it.
You are correct.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
That's it. This is why you book. AsharedUniverse.com, everybody. Go there. Mm-hmm. Book your podcast. This is what you get. I mean, most of the time is Christian Cortez. But if you're lucky, like us, you get the great Ming Chen.
You get the owner to come
down. You get a comic book man here.
Yeah.
Sometimes. In between cons, in between.
Yeah, you have to
in between airport terminals.
We were lucky to get him. Catch him with whatever net that you had that you caught him in between Comic Cons, because you're flying around worse than some of these bees. Like, it's ridiculous, dude.
Yeah, he's like a murder hornet. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
That's the goal, my friends. I don't sit still. So.
No, dude, you can't.
No, you cannot. You cannot sit
still. Not in a business like this. No.
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 But that's also. Still.
And it's also the idea of, like, not an insult to anybody, including you, but like the idea of just having one job, kind of boring. If you have a variety of things to do, it's like, yeah, I dig it. Like, Ming can work here. Ming does some panels, Comic-Con. He travels. He goes to dive bars like it's a job. So,
and he drinks Malort.
Yeah, that to me is, minus the Malort, seems like the life.
It's a great life.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Exactly. It's like he could be writing code in Michigan right now. But luckily, he built a fan site and, his life took a turn for the positive in a huge way. And he's milking it. Good for you, man.
Yes, listen to Cape episode. I don't know whichever one I was on. You remember the number?
The one with you and I when we did the interview? Mm-hmm. 156.
156. Listen to that one. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's a good 2 hours. It was most downloaded show of 2021.
Your story was awesome. The whole comeuppance, the comeuppance of Ming Chen.
That's not the right word.
It is now.
Comeuppance is when you get like what's coming to you.
Exactly. Like, I guarantee you that's how Ming
Like Ming murdered a hooker in college. And like, and like now he's finally receiving some like karmic punishment. That's what comeuppance is.
It's actually looking up words.
He's nodding. Yeah, he's nodding his head behind the board like, how'd you know that?
A punishment or a fate that someone deserves. Well, yeah,
that's
you
what I'm
deserve.
Saying. It's not comeuppance.
Like, you deserve to work here, Ming. You deserve to fly to cons.
You deserve to be stuck with us.
That's See, it. I'm changing that word for the positive. I'm putting my foot down on dying this hill. I'm making comeuppance a positive connotation now.
All right. Listen, I'm not dying on that hill, so you're welcome to it. All yours, dude. As usual, because Andrew and Ming are here, we're talking alcohol before the show.
No
and,
shit.
Yeah, alcohol has become such a fixture of this show, and I never would have thought.
Especially here we are. When the majority of us didn't really drink. Like, Ryan and I dabbled with craft beer.
Yes.
You swore off beer because you swore it's tasted
no,
like
No, I just didn't
cones.
Have the palate. I would drink, like, a Dos Equis or Corona when I went to a Mexican restaurant, but that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll drink beer, but I don't like beer. I never really have, but like those are easier for me to stomach for whatever reason, which people find funny. They're like, those beers? I'm like,
yeah.
Compared to like what? Like fucking Molson or PBR or something like that. Like there's worse
he
beers
can't even
in my
name
opinion.
Brands.
I mean, I'm trying to think like some like low rent beer. Sorry.
Milwaukee's Beast.
Not sorry. Yeah, exactly. But no, we didn't, which is so funny. Actually, this week, because this is going out a couple of days from now,
yeah,
is actually 12 years since we started podcasting. So thinking back to 12 years
start
ago,
in, yeah.
June 30th, we did the first two episodes, episodes one and two of The Only Podcast That Matters. First Cast and Astrocast. I don't remember what I had for dinner two nights ago, but I remember that. Go figure. My mind is a weird place. But we just, looking back on that, it's crazy to think that, like, yeah, now everybody has it. But is that growing up? Is that just personal evolution? I feel like it's a little bit of both. But yeah, we didn't really drink.
Depression,
like, you and Ryan didn't really drink.
And
yeah,
and anger and
life has fucked us. We're ready to drown our feelings.
Yeah,
with liquor,
drink the pain away. Yeah, no, yeah. Actually, that's not why I drink.
No,
at
it's
all.
Not. No, not at all. Not a, it's no. Very much a social thing with us. Yeah, none of us are sitting home like drinking alone.
No,
for the
no,
most part.
No, even in my apartment, I found a neighbor who's just as much of a whiskey nerd as I am, and he comes downstairs with some ridiculous top shelf stuff like Octomore and like 25-year-old Macallans, like $300-$400 bottles of liquor. And I'm like, what? you're giving me a sample of this? Like,
yeah. Yeah, like, on your knees, buddy.
Yeah, Ming's bringing up Octomore.
I've never even heard of that.
So Octomore is made by a brand called Bruichladdich. Over in Scotland.
I hope you're pronouncing that wrong.
No, I'm not. I know I'm pronouncing that right. Because I followed the fucking list. Anyway, it only comes
bougie
out like...
ass Andrew. That's what's happened in 12 years. Yeah, bougie ass.
Yes. We talked about this. We went from vaping to
we're
cigars.
Never done talking about it. And golf. Yeah, the golf and clubs golf. And the vapor. He sold those with his truck. Well, I guess maybe we'll circle back to that. But anyway.
Yes.
No, you're never out of the hot seat.
No, I mean, never.
Not.
I
apparently,
know.
Even when you're not here like
yeah,
last
I know.
Week.
Yeah.
But go on.
Fucking Corey.
Love me some Corey.
Andrew's not here. I'm going to make fun of him. Fuck you.
If you missed last week, go back and listen to it. Anyway.
Yeah,
Octomore. Yeah, what a weird episode to start with. For some reason, this is your entry point. Wow. Welcome, number one.
Hi.
Number two, stick around.
Hello, watcher.
It gets really interesting.
Yeah, Octomore, that's an easy $200 bottle of liquor right there. It comes out once or twice a year, and good luck finding it. Because most,
yeah.
Especially here in the U.S.,
I've never seen it. Yeah, that's why I'm looking at it.
Like, I've never seen it. The only time I've seen it is someone handing me the bottle because they've had it for a year and a half.
Wow.
You know, yeah, that's a special one time. Like, I'm going to crack it and have a small sifter of it type drink. That is not a I'm going to glug this thing down.
Makes sense. You had that one, Ming? Have you tried Octomore?
I've never even heard of it either.
Oh,
so
really?
Thank
okay.
you for educating me. No,
yeah. He's going to go seek it out.
Yeah, the Port Charlotte, the Classic Laddie. I can't remember. But the company is Bruichladdich. Yeah, they're the ones who were Bruichladdich, excuse me, who make that. And then I had a Macallan second edition, which is 6 years old, I think, at this point. It goes for $800 on the aftermarket because they don't make it anymore.
Man.
I'll tell you one thing. It was magic. It was worth every penny of
$800.
Yeah? Yes. I wouldn't pay that money because I don't have it. And my wife would kill me if I spent that much money on liquor, especially one bottle. But when it came out, it was only like $210, which is still a lot,
but
reasonable,
within reason,
you know, quotes, reasonable.
Yeah. For a bottle, it's not unheard of.
Yes.
Whereas $800 is like.
They did. That bottle was a collaboration between Macallan and at the time, the number one restaurant in the world, the Della Rocca Brothers.
Sure.
Rage
Against the Machine.
Not spelled that way.
I know.
Not spelled that way.
That's what I think of. It's probably pronounced Macallan, right? Because it's Scottish. So it's got to be. The emphasis has to be on the Mac, not Macallan. It's got to be Macallan.
I believe it's Macallan.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm speculating.
It's not Macallan. It's
Macallan.
Yeah.
Right. But
yeah.
That's why I thought it would be Macallan.
No.
They
from what I've
the
seen,
Mac.
Yes. From what I've seen, it's one single word. It's not the Mac, you know, or MC in the front.
Right. I just thought the emphasis would be on that first syllable.
Whatever.
Maybe.
Doesn't matter. It tasted delicious.
It tastes good. That's what counts.
It tasted every bit of $800.
I'll pronounce it however they want. Yep. Just give me some.
Yeah, exactly. If you've got that blue bottle at home, please.
Please. Cough it up.
But I want to go to what's actually in front of me for those of you out there listening right now. Of course we have Liquid Death.
Of course we do. Not because they give us any. We're
no,
fans.
We're
just
fans
it.
Of it because we're...
We're suckers.
Yeah.
Awesome.
They're just thank you, Ming.
What happened? The signal dropped out. Everyone's like, shit, my Bluetooth disconnected. No, Ming just snapped a picture of us posing with the liquid death. So if you're wondering why there was a solid 10 seconds of silence.
It's because we're
we were mugging it up for the camera, because why not?
But Chris brought up a good point. Liquid Death makes flavors now. They make flavored sparkling water. And one of those flavors is Severed Lime, which I love the title. Severed Lime, Bury It All, Bury as in like berries, and Mango Chainsaw.
I mean, that's pretty great.
But Chris, you brought up a good point. The Severed Lime would go probably amazing with a tequila.
I was thinking that the first time I had it. I'm like, you know what? If you put some of this just to give a little bit of lime, because obviously the standard margarita is lime,
right?
You know, the basic, no matter where you go, you know, the standard, like, it's margarita night, $4 margaritas, that kind of thing, it's going to be lime. And I thought, you know what, to add a little fizz and a little lime to your tequila of choice,
it's like a tequila tonic almost, except it's, you know, a lime liquid death.
That's it. Yeah,
there you go.
That's a good call. Look at you.
How to drink, you know, Greg on How to Drink. Do that for us.
I'm not waiting on some other son of a bitch to do it.
Well, Ming apparently ran out of the tequila or mezcal that was here.
Which, I mean, to be fair, like, we both showed up with not knowing the other one was stopping and getting some fizzy liquid death.
No, we did not plan this at all.
Yeah, we didn't actually stop and we could just bought some tequila knowing that this was here, even though I suggested it to you, like, after we realized we both had it. Like, that would have been a smarter idea.
Unfortunately, there's no liquor stores in Bell Works, which would be amazing. I don't know. You probably need some kind of silly license to get it in.
Can we just get, Ming, could you run to the bar? We'll give you a couple of bucks. Would you mind grabbing us like a couple of tequila shots?
He's ready.
Any excuse to go to a bar.
What's that place in West Long Branch?
Which one?
Oh, got a lot of them.
Like, this is, Ming, that needs to be a book. Like, you need to compile a book. This has to be like, you know, a functional alcoholic's guide to the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, bar here is definitely open, so.
Oh, that's right, over there.
Yeah, no, they actually, Barbella is open. So I was serious. I'm like, maybe, all right.
Just walk over there and be like, hey, you got some tequila? Mezcal? Yeah. I'm just going to pour liquid death in it.
Maybe. Well, just to share, like, can we
I'll leave this last.
Dude, I got two cans of it myself, so we'll be fine. Okay. Yeah, do whatever you want. Drink up.
That's great.
Drink up, Brother Tyler. Anyway, it's maybe a little too inside for people. You had some stories. Before I get to yakking, you had some stuff you wanted to bring up.
Yes,
some
all right. Twitter stuff. I'll tell you the punchline because there's a little bit of a setup for this joke first.
Wait, you tell us the punchline first?
I'm telling you the punchline
first.
So
this is like the Jeopardy of jokes?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Shut up.
Yeah, would you mind? Like, how long have we been doing this? Silence your phone, fool.
So the punchline is, Veronica turned to me and said, that's a song that you need to make with Chris. And of course, obviously in my head, Christian. Called Whiskey and Chipotle.
All right. I'm listening. You got my attention.
So I mentioned to you a couple minutes ago about how my neighbor is also a whiskey nerd like me. Yes. And he comes downstairs with some amazing concoctions and whatnot. And we sit there and we'll sit outside on my deck and we'll be just trying these different whiskeys that he has.
I can hang with you more. This is what I'm missing out
whatever
on.
Whatever this guy, like, I'll just be outside and I'll just be like having a cigar, and here comes John, and he's like, Big Drew. And I'm like, what do you got this time? He goes, oh, I got something for you. And he walks upstairs, he takes a shower, he comes back downstairs. Hey, I got this. And I'm like, what the fuck is that?
He feels the need to clean up before hanging out with you?
Oh, yeah, apparently.
That's a reflection on you. That's weird, but okay.
Anyway.
I'm glad you told me that. That's going to come up again for sure.
He came downstairs this time with one of those Octomores with that Macallan I was describing. Mm-hmm. And a couple of, cheaper sounds negative. Just cheaper compared to those two bottles.
I mean, everything is cheaper compared to an $800 bottle.
Of a bourbon and a rye that I had never experienced before. So, you know, we're sitting there and he never, the bourbon and the rye, he broke open with me. He never had it either. Old Swinson, that's the name of the brand. Never had it.
I know. I'm just picturing an old guy like a Mr. Magoo. He's got glasses on the edge
of his
nose.
No, it doesn't even have that. Like, it's kind of like a sepia
try
band.
Try some of my 92 proof. Yeah. You really know how to make liquor, old man?
Try it.
I invented liquor.
I am liquor.
Maybe. Yeah, right? Maybe.
The blood coursing through my veins is 110 proof. Anyway.
This is going to turn the Statler and Waldorf
show.
It is. It's going to devolve, or maybe it's going to be on
or
the upswing.
Or evolve, yes.
Yeah, maybe. It's going to be for the better.
So he brings down
these. We'll get cease and desist from Disney.
Yeah, we are.
How dare you? It's like, what? I mean, we're like way younger. Not by a lot. 20, 30 years, maybe? People looked older back in the 70s. Anyway, what were you saying?
So he brings down these bottles, and like, he gives me a shot of each. Now, mind you, we're properly tasting these whiskeys. We're not just doing shooters. So we're sitting there, we're trying to explore the flavors and whatnot. And if I were to measure all of the alcohol that I had in that 3 hour time frame, I probably had a full glass of whiskey.
Wow.
Like a full highball glass.
Right, right.
Of whiskey,
like to the brim,
and yeah, and as we're outside and we're, you know, tasting these things, Veronica comes home with Chipotle, and you know, we joke around with her. I have dinner. Next day, I wake up and I had stomach issues.
You're kidding. Wait a minute.
So,
am I glad I'm sitting down?
I had stomach issues.
What for a the shock!
I still went to work. Had stomach issues, and then, but I
he was pulling over every 11 feet. But
yes, I was.
Yeah.
And no, not from the top end, from the bottom.
Obviously. Come on. Listen, they make those discreet boxer brief looking Depends now. It's okay.
Yeah, I was considering stopping at Target to grab some.
I mean, you're knocking on middle age. It's not weird.
No.
I have yet to wear them, but I know they're out there.
Sometimes you laugh a little too hard and you get a little, you know.
If things take a turn.
Yeah.
Listen, we can be discreet. That anyone's getting in our pants. Anyway.
As I get to work, I tell my wife, Veronica, that I'm like, could you walk the dog this morning? I didn't get to because I was in the bathroom so long taking care of business that I literally looked at the time and went, shit, I'm going to be late for work. Shit, I'm not done yet. So I zoomed at the door. Get home later on that day. And she's like, what was your problem? And I'm like, whiskey and Chipotle. And she just starts dying. And she's like, that's a song you need to write now, whiskey and Chipotle.
I think we do, actually.
And like, that's like a cow pop song that you and I and Christian, because I know he's into that, just need to MIDI tune.
We will.
And do.
We will. We're just going to release a bunch of singles.
Yeah. That's what they're doing anyway now.
I mean, that's the format. It's kind of been like,
yeah,
just put out a song to stream.
The SoundCloud, and that's it. Yeah.
We can also get $1.40 per quarter from our... from Spotify,
right?
Which was Christian's profit from his Christmas album. I don't know if you heard that. That was a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, and I find that so funny that everyone's just like, "Oh, Spotify's evil." I'm like, "They're all evil. They don't. None of them pay dick."
No, they don't.
Incidentally, follow me on Spotify because I get a bunch of playlists I'm sharing with everybody. So
it doesn't make me any money.
Listen. If nothing else, like, I want to turn people on to stuff that I listen to. I listen to a lot of music. I've had, you know, some of these people on the show. So why not?
You can also, I use YouTube music.
Yes.
Because the reason I use YouTube music is like, you can find people that will upload videos and that aren't on CDs or releases, to speak.
Yeah, physical releases.
Exactly. So like a lot of the songs like you like some of them from the Japanese releases and stuff, they'll be on YouTube with videos.
Right.
But they wouldn't be on the American release. So you can still find those songs.
Yes, I found that too.
Yeah, so
usually one or two extra songs is not worth the extra $10 plus shipping from Japan.
Yeah, right.
Go figure.
But you can also create playlists. And I always thought it was just playlists for me. These are public.
Yeah.
So there are three playlists out there that I made. Hip music to hop to, because I'm white. Don't Annoy the Neighbors, which is pretty much my classic rock, you know,
right.
Smooth jazz fusion nonsense. You know, Snarky Puppy.
Oh, okay.
And then Annoy the Neighbors, which is just my ridiculous metalcore, shake the walls and annoy the neighbors music.
It lives up to the name.
It does. Lorna Shorn, come on. They just released another single and it's disgusting.
I just remembered the other day that's not one of the guitar. I mean, I think there's two. I honestly don't remember. One of the guitar players from Snarky Puppy was going to come on Cape when Cape is out in California.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
It didn't come together. Because he's friends with my old guitar teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And they were coming out for NAMM in one January.
Mm-hmm.
And my teacher, Chris, brought up the subject to me. He's just like, hey, we're going to be out there if mm-hmm. you want us to come. I'm like, I would love to have you guys.
That guy, I've tagged you a couple times on TikTok for the kid Eli, the black metal singer.
Yes. Yeah.
You and him need to share stories. Seriously.
Like, okay.
Both of you are Uber drivers. He's still in LA or the mm-hmm. LA area. And he's mentioned some stories. I'm like, yeah,
poor
Chris,
guy.
I think Chris would get along with this guy. Plus, you're both musicians. He was a touring musician for one point.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a
that's why he's driving Uber now. No, and that's not a dig. But no, I'm serious. Like, that's not when I make comments like that and people are like, oh, you're mean or you're jealous. I'm like, no, it's not that. Like we just said,
that's
streaming doesn't pay shit. Like, it doesn't. Everybody knows it.
Look at Matt Heafy. Look what he did. Matt Heafy of Trivium. Huge metal band. Huge. He makes more money on Twitch doing fucking.
Exactly.
Playing games, like playing Call of Duty, or just streaming himself playing music.
Right. Yeah. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, that's not me taking a shot at anybody. Like, that's just our means of consumption has changed. And that's even why I'm creating the playlists on Spotify, just because, you know, they gave me premium for a couple of months for a crazy low price, so I signed back up for that again. Because I use YouTube Music as well, because I have YouTube Premium. Which, frankly, I think the sound quality is better on YouTube Music than it is Spotify.
Really? Okay.
Like, when I've listened
in
headphones, I noticed there seems to be a bit more clarity. It seems to be, the sound overall, I think, is better. And again, I've noticed that with headphones, not so much in the car, but that's just been my experience with it. But Spotify is the one everybody uses. Spotify and Apple Music are definitely number one and two. Yeah. So all the more reason I'm like, well, I have a profile, I have an account, I'll just create playlists on there. Because, you know, the hope is, look, maybe, you know, some of these bands are out playing. And here's hoping you'll see them, because that's how bands make money. It's like you buy a ticket to the show, you buy some merch at the show or through their official store, and that's it. Like, nobody's making money. Unless they're selling vinyl, but they can't even, there's not a PVC in the world.
It's not like the 80s and 90s anymore, where like to be in a band was the dream, because you were making stupid amount of money hand over fist with anything you did. Yeah, you were still a slave to your contract.
Yeah, but if you had one hit song, it could still buy you a house.
Exactly, exactly.
I mean, it was, there was a way to make a living doing it. I mean, I had a cousin who sadly passed away 10 years ago, but he was a composer for a long time, and it's someone, Billy Tragesser, who nobody's heard of him, and again, not a dig, it's just he worked in composition.
He was a composer. Behind the scenes kind of stuff.
Exactly. He worked a lot with Rodney Dangerfield. Like, if you saw Rover Dangerfield, the animated movie Rodney did, he wrote all the music and songs with Rodney. And worked with him a lot in Vegas. He actually moved to Vegas, and that's where most of his career was. But, you know, my cousin is his wife, and is now his widow, but they used to be able to live off of the residuals from the music. And this is a guy who's a classical composer.
Mm-hmm.
Not a name, like a recognizable
big
name or anything
band
like that.
Kind of, like
well,
John,
no, like scoring, like classical.
Like John Williams.
There you go. Something like that. And they used to be able to live off the residuals from that. And then at a point, you know, she was telling when I went to Vegas, my parents back in 2016, my parents came out to visit me. And we visited her, hadn't seen her in forever. And because she moved to Vegas before it was cool. She moved to Vegas in the 70s. So, you know, now everyone's like moving to Vegas. They're just like, I hate snow.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It's Florida or Vegas.
I like
Meanwhile,
the snow that goes up my nose.
well, that's everywhere right now. It's a buyer's market for cocaine. If you didn't know.
Apparently so.
It is. Yeah. $800 a bottle.
It's number three after fentanyl and meth.
Is it really?
In death?
Yeah. Oh, death. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you meant in sales. Well, I'm like, well, you must have a weird Google homepage.
Yes. Like, with all the shit that I do.
Your search history must be really interesting.
Oh, you
almost as interesting as Shared Universe right now.
It's
Chipotle burrito. That's what's up on the screen right now. God damn.
That actually sounds like a really good fucking idea. Some of that barbacoa with some nice bourbon.
Maybe. Bourbon. Oh, my God. Bourbon marinated barbacoa.
Yeah.
This is all getting edited out.
No,
billion-dollar idea. Nobody's going to hear
it. You hear it first, folks.
No, bullshit. Nobody's going to hear it. We're doing this shit at home.
Look, here
we're
we going to
make a food truck. There's Ming. Man, this dude is quick. What are we talking about?
bourbon and barbacoa. That's what we're talking about.
That's right. Man talk.
Yeah.
That's right. Booze and barbecue and almost 4th of July and
Actually, that's a really good segue into my next segment.
Oh, well, I actually have something while we're talking about Chipotle.
All right.
And then Everybody uses that term now, but it's like it does actually make sense. So I'm guilty of it just as much as everyone else. When you and I did one of these shows together, Cape 195, the second to last show of last year, and we were talking about service and how terrible service is. And we both called out Chipotle for having we had issues. Not to... We're not going to kind of recap those stories. There's actually a clip about bad service, which I found hilarious, actually, because YouTube no longer shows it to viewers, but that got a bunch of thumbs down, which did make me laugh. I'm like, do people disagree? I mean, you don't know.
We were complete boomers in that segment.
But not really. I mean, picking on young people, but like the word is out. Like Gen Z didn't give a shit.
No.
And I'm not saying I completely disagree, because they're like, fuck you, pay me. I'm not getting paid enough to put up with all this.
90%. I've had 90% success rate with every server ever, any place I've gone. Unfortunately, I had a zero in on these experiences that I had with Chipotle.
Totally. Well, everybody has had them, and it seems to be more and more rampant. Now, last week, I talked about having different issues with Chipotle's up by me in my area, North Jersey. And the other night, I was out, and I was heading home, and I've been really good about just cooking dinner for the last couple of nights. I started throwing something together at home. I haven't been ordering takeout or anything like that too often recently. But at this point, I wasn't going to get home till like 9 o'clock. And I said, let me just stop and get something on the way. So I ordered from a different Chipotle than the ones that had disappointed me. I haven't had it for a while. And I was like, you know what? It's just convenient.
Right.
Let me just, yeah.
Hell, that's let me grab a bowl. Yeah.
Exactly. And my pickup time, it was about 8:30. My pickup time was at 8:50. I was okay. Like, great. So I stop, orders, I go in, you know, they have actually the pickups behind the counter at this location. Mm-hmm. So you actually need to speak to somebody. You can't just take it off the shelf like
right.
A lot of them have.
Right.
Yeah, my name's for Chris. She gives me the bag and she did say, I did say I ordered a drink as well. Okay. They had watermelon limeade, which is really good. Actually, that probably tastes great with some severed lime in it.
Okay.
And now that we're talking about it. But I was like, oh, I ordered a drink as well. She's like, there's not a cup in the bag. I was like, no, there's no cup in here. And she gives me a cup and then that's that.
Right.
So I get home and I'm settling myself in as I get home. I didn't actually open up the bag until 8:30 to start eating.
Mistake number one.
Or 9:30 rather. And, well, that's it. I take out the bag and, excuse me, I take the bowl out of the bag and the sticker on the bowl is for Matt. And once again, not what I ordered at all. It wasn't like they put the wrong sticker on. This was a dude
100%.
Named, this was Matt's bowl.
Yeah.
And now
so Matt's walking around with Chris's bowl.
Yeah. Or he ate, which is so weird because, again, he ordered, I think, steak, which I can't eat anyway.
Right.
Eosinophilic esophagitis.
Mm-hmm.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Anyway.
It is one of the hardest words to say.
It really is. I've said it a couple of times just to have it down. I'm showing off for absolutely nobody by yes. being able to say eosinophilic esophagitis smoothly, but I can only do it one at a time. If I try to do it three times in a row, forget
no,
it.
No, you're fucked.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, they close at 10. Mm. I don't want to be that person, but at the same time, like, come on. Like,
I can't eat this.
I can't eat this, and I don't want to make something for myself at this point.
It's too late. It's an allergy, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to go in the car and I'm going to drive back. No, it's not that far. It's 10-ish minutes from me. So It wasn't that far. But, you know, I talked about it last time. I got a different bowl than I was supposed to get. And it was too close to closing to be able to go back. And that was at a different location. This is, you know, this same thing has happened again. And I'm like, man, you know, it wasn't like it's my bowl. They put the other dude's sticker on it. Like the bowl was everything. Ordered.
The bag was the only thing that had your name
exactly.
on it.
Exactly. Like that was correct. It was just packed wrong. And the thing is, like, it was 8:50 on like a Wednesday. There was nobody there.
Right.
So it wasn't like it was crowded. Maybe they were rushing or anything. There were four orders to be picked up. So I don't think it was like a mad rush, you know. And I get mistakes happen. But again, this is the third Chipotle in my area where like my order has been fucked up and I'm over it. I'm really over it. And I go back there and, you know, it's quarter of, there's nobody in there. And I say to the young lady behind the counter, I said, hi, I picked up my order for Chris. I was like, the bowl is for Matt. Mm. So I would just like the bowl I ordered, please. And she's able to actually pull up the order in the system, which is handy. And she had somebody who was waiting on the line. She's like, can I just take care of him first? I was like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting a fresh bowl. So I don't care. Like, I'm going to go home and eat a hot burrito bowl. Like, I'm cool. Like, that's fine. I'll wait, you know, while you take care of this guy. Which, I do have to laugh at the people who go into Chipotle have no fucking idea what they order.
Oh,
same with
God.
People who go into, like, Wendy's or anything
and
like that.
Staring.
Like, how do you not know? They're like, I think I'll have the... Dude, it's like, dude, it's...
That or the reaching over and to point to things. Like, there's a glass there for a reason, you slime ball.
Well, aside from that, it's like, you don't think they know the difference between tomatoes and steak? I mean, you don't need to be like, no, that. Like, there's one section for everything.
And like Chipotle or Bubba Coos or most of these Tex-Mex kind of places are set up in a way where it's like, you know how it works. You pick your base... And then you pick this, and you go down the line. You could just look at it and go, that. Not even know the names. Just point to them, and they'll go, okay.
Well, it's also like just not even know what you want. Like
the meme of the woman looking, and all of a sudden the fucking math problems are coming out of her head. Is that all I'm thinking of right now?
I mean, it is. It's like rice, black beans, or pinto beans. Like it's not that hard.
What kind of protein?
Exactly.
And then
not
toppings.
That hard?
No, it's not. This is not a mortgage for your house. Like, what the fuck?
And same at the drive-thru. Like, I haven't had fast food in a little while, but when people at Wendy's are like, can I, it's like, you don't, Wendy's has burgers, chicken sandwiches, all right? How do you not know this? Like, you pulled in here because you must have felt like something,
the
right?
Only
can
person,
you narrow it
the
down?
The only person I'll give that to is one who has, like, a busload of kids, you know, that they have to order for because the kids are the problem because they're changing their minds.
Oh, even still, I'm parking and I'm writing it down before I even get in the line because I don't want to be that asshole. Like, if I'm What? I mean, look, it's never too late.
Liara is nice and consistent. It's the same thing every time. She doesn't want to deviate.
She's your child. She is your child.
Yep.
Andrew's actually like Chipotle. He likes steak and cheese.
But wrapped in a crunchy tortilla.
That's it. Like, Andrew doesn't really like tacos. He's
nope. Sweating.
Double steak and just cheese. That's it? Yes. Why? Go to a steakhouse and get a side of cheese. So anyway, she takes care of the other guy. She makes my bowl exactly how I ordered it. She gives it to me. Now, obviously, you know, they're closing in 15 minutes. You know, she's not brimming with enthusiasm or anything. I mean, she helped me, and that's fine.
Right.
I wasn't expecting, she was like super apologetic. She's like, I'm sorry, I'll make it for you again. Which is,
that's all you want.
All I wanted. But I'm done. I'm just done. I'm not going to Chipotle anymore unless I'm, well, certainly not placing an order ahead. But frankly, it's just put me off enough where I'm like, okay, everybody is checked out. Three locations near me, the three closest Chipotles, they're just checked out. And I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
I understand. And that kind of goes in hand in hand with the experience that I had is the ordering ahead. I don't know, maybe they weren't reading the ticket right, or maybe it didn't come through properly or what, but you heard the story in the last episode. I'm not going to rehash it.
Yeah, we're not going to rehash it. There's a video clip on YouTube if you want to go check it out, but it's bad service.
Let's bring this back up with my hypothetical question. And I'm actually going to reach out to Ming first since he's being quiet back there and playing on his phone.
Okay, what do you
got?
If
you can design your own bar, pub-style bar, and I'm talking what would you serve and how would it feel? Atmosphere-wise.
Oh, I think I go for dive bar first. You don't have to clean it. You can
just peanuts on the floor, popcorn on the floor, just fucking screw it.
Yeah, cheap beer, liquor, and I have a couple of top shelf items for those special occasions. But $2, the $2 PBRs. don't know if you guys are familiar with Montucky Cold Snacks, the official unofficial beer of Montana.
That doesn't even sound appealing.
High Life, but High Life in bottles.
High Life in bottles.
The High Life.
Champagne of
beers. Yeah, for sure.
Listen, we do need to do a tour. Let's be honest. We need to do a Cape Road show, and we need to check out all these.
He's got
to
be our chauffeur, because he knows all these places.
Ming, we're gonna hire Ming as tour manager. He's been everywhere. We're lucky he's here tonight. To be honest, like, this dude is
the Johnny Cash song is pretty much following him around.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, Montucky's are the best.
Is this their pride beer? I'm assuming because it's got
the
unicorn on it.
Unicorn, yeah.
But the other one just looks like the White Pony Deftones album cover.
It does. It does.
Yeah, they've
it's the Blue Pony.
They've hit New Jersey. I'll see if I can get a 30 pack.
Montucky,
really 30 good. Pack.
Good stuff. I'll get some in the studio.
I'm expecting Yellow Water. Okay.
Yeah. And then karaoke 7 nights a week. It's
hell yeah.
You're a karaoke guy, huh?
Yeah. And then
you don't know this.
No, I didn't know this.
You don't know his song?
A lot of karaoke.
No, I don't.
His signature song. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
But your signature song seems to be All For You by Sister
Hazel.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I didn't want to be that stereotyping guy, but I couldn't picture you as a karaoke.
Oh, it's in the
dude.
Blood for sure.
I mean,
you're Asian.
I wasn't going to say it. That's why I said I didn't want to be that stereotyping guy. That's why I prefaced it with that.
We invented that shit, man. Come on. I mean, it's a Japanese, but close enough.
Yeah. And norebang in Korea.
Yeah.
The problem with dive bars, you can't build a new dive bar.
You're buying a location.
Yeah.
If anything, you're destroying the location to make it look closer to what you want. Yeah.
That appeals to me too.
Yeah. But old divers get turned over all the time. They just, they sell all the time, and then a new ownership comes in. Yeah, I would love to just be like, all right, I'll give you $10,000 for the place.
So Tom's Tavern. Done. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So totally. Is that like bucket list for you? Like, would you own a Jersey Shore dive bar?
I don't know about Jersey. I think maybe Jersey.
I mean, you live here.
I think the liquor laws would be too tough here, man.
Shit.
I think
that's a good point.
Somewhere where don't give a shit.
Basically Florida. Every other state. Yeah.
Florida. So Florida.
Yeah, Florida, Tennessee, whatever. Yeah, wherever it's
the amount of teeth are lower than the amount of fingers.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow, Andrew.
Yeah,
I think it'd be fun. But I mean, then again, I think it sounds fun on paper.
It does.
Right.
Running that business would be a motherfucker.
People tend to get obnoxious when they drink, and that's where the problems arise. But a lot of drama. A lot of drama at bars.
Yeah, your clientele base is not the highest.
Yeah, I've guest bartended a couple of times. It was fun, man. I was like, I could do this.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Granted, when you're guest bartending, people don't care if you screw up their drink.
Right, because they know you're right. Normal.
Oh, geez. Yeah. It's not.
But you probably also think that same way when you do karaoke. You're like, I could be a singer.
No, no way. No. That's exactly the opposite. I'm like, I'm up here because I know I can't sing.
And I've had three or four.
And everybody else is here because they know they can't sing either. So, the person who can sing at karaoke, they're the jerk. Like, dude, if you can really sing, then go sing for real.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing here? You're just bragging now.
But no, we're just showing up that you're the highest form.
We're less than 6 months out from the Cape holiday party. So,
oh, God.
It has to be karaoke now.
Yeah. You know, we set it up whenever we can. So, karaoke. We have all the gear here. So, yeah.
Oh, I should have it here. So, I was legitimately like, we should rent a place like Red Tank and just have a big party. I mean, I want to. We didn't get to do it last year.
Ross will be open. Should be open by then.
Oh shit! So. Okay, yeah, we have an inn with Ross Brewing, don't we? So that's actually a really good idea.
We have many inns.
That's all right.
Ross, actually, yeah, Ross Brewing Ming's, karaoke night.
Ming is friends with everybody. Ming is like the mayor of show business, East Coast show business. Like, Ming really is like friends with everybody.
He could totally be a super agent. For the YMCA, right? Or Monmouth County.
They gave me a thing for being on the board. I'm on the board of directors.
You're on the board with my buddy Chris Kersha.
Oh yeah. Cool. Yeah, it's fun.
He texts me. He's like, hey, Ming's next to me. I'm like, oh, shit, look at that. Yeah. Like, say hi for me.
I'm texting Ming right now.
I'm like, I haven't seen the guy in fucking forever because he's always at cons.
Why you haven't? You haven't seen Ming since the holiday show. It's been 6 months. Wow. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, Ming was here 2 weeks ago with us.
Yeah.
For CCCB.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, which is great.
So, same question for you.
Shows up for me. Dive bar bar aesthetic. Okay.
It's what a pub bar aesthetic. You're setting everything up.
Gotcha.
Talking the atmosphere, what you're serving, whether it be like full on food or just, you know, finger food, the liquor, like everything. Your idea of what you want.
Great question. I actually have had some good nights out lately, so I do have some reference points for bars, which are. I'm glad you're asking this question now.
Okay.
If you'd asked it in November, when we did that, the last time we did the show together, I'd be like, I don't know. But, you know, now I can be a little more informed. First of all, no TVs. There'll be no sports of any kind.
Really?
On there.
Okay.
Yes. Because sports bars are their own animal.
Yes.
Like, and there's too many of them. And it's distracting. Like, I got on a whole soapbox about, like, you know, I'm probably never going back to a Buffalo Wild Wings like post pandemic.
Right, yeah, I remember that. Yes.
Because just like we've got 19 TVs, you're each going, showing a different sport, and it's like it's overkill.
For me, Buffalo Wild Wings or a place like that, a sports bar, is you're bringing your couch out. Like all you're doing is getting food that you can't get in your home.
Right, but you're acting like you're at home,
yes.
Which is the other thing. Yes. And I can't stand people who like.
The sports fans, unfortunately, it's fans of all, but because it's a sports bar, that's who you're dealing with.
Well, exactly, and I don't fit into that crowd. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I don't know that I would want to welcome that crowd. I'm not saying they're excluded. I'm just saying like sports on TVs and in the room.
Maybe a single TV with that could be changed.
Maybe a back room. There could be a back room maybe if, you know.
Right, for a higher price.
For something.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. But even like, okay, you all can have a back room. Like I'd rather have a back room with some pinball machines and shit like that. Like okay. If I had my druthers, whatever those are, I'd be down for something like that. Some arcade games, classic arcade games, and some pinball.
Mm.
Yeah, let's do it. Food, absolutely. Now, it doesn't need to be top tier.
No,
you know,
no. Burgers and fries kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It could be bar food. I'm down with that. There could be like a burger menu. There could be like a brick oven for pizza or, you know, a
bar pies
coal
and stuff.
Oven, stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. Like classic restaurant fare, you know, like a good Applebee's. listen, you could have various levels of drinks. You know, there could be the top shelf stuff for the people who want that. I would defer to you for helping me to pick out the top shelf stuff.
Whatever.
Because you've have more range than I do with regard to that. There would be the, you know, everyday kind of stuff like Jack Daniels or Gentleman Jack and stuff like that, which I tend to default to
if for no other reason it's because it's cost effective.
Totally. Well, also people who drink it are gonna drink it.
Yes.
Like you're gonna have those people just like give me Jack Daniels.
Yep.
And that's it. So have it.
Yeah.
That's my point. Although I will say, I did go to a bar that did not have Jack Daniels. I ended up trying a rye that I liked, and I didn't even know it was a rye.
What, do you remember the name of it?
Few. Have you heard
Few.
Of the? Yes.
F-E-W.
F-E-W. I've seen it in the wild.
Ming's doing
recently,
it.
Recently. And yeah.
I have seen that. I have not had it.
I have not seen the rye anywhere. I've seen two different bourbons recently.
A straight bourbon and something else.
And an American bourbon, and then I forget what the other one was.
Okay.
But, I'd seen it before, and having asked for Jack Daniels, they didn't have it. And they're like, well, we got this. And I can't remember the name of the other one. Mm. And he didn't even have the other one. So it's like, well, I guess I'm having the few then.
Yeah, right.
And it was good. And I didn't realize it was a rye until I got the bill. I did. I'm looking at
$12
like,
for the drink.
Few rye. I'm like, huh. Okay. I didn't even realize it was. Like, it actually normally rye is a bit, I don't know the word to describe
it's
it.
A little rough.
It's a little rough. It's not as smooth as a bourbon.
Yeah, it's not round. It's sharp.
That's it. Okay.
It's a round flavor. Like a Jack Daniels to me is a round flavor where you drink it. Yes, of course you're going to get the alcohol burn, but that's it. That's all you get.
It's a smoother.
You get the alcohol burn.
Yeah.
Whereas with ryes, and for me, anything that's wheat finished has a very spiky, aggressive palate to it.
Mm, yeah.
And no, especially in the back end.
Totally. And this was smoother than I expected it to mm-hmm. be, which is why I didn't even detect any rye elements,
right.
So to speak.
No, you're...
And I was really surprised by it. So, like, I would... What was that, 55 a bottle?
Yeah, okay, that's not even that terrible.
Super pricey. It was good, though. I'd drink it again, and I was kind of surprised. Yeah, I got... Oh, that's right. So there's a total wine you're buying now.
It's just $60 for a bottle. That's not terrible.
No, not bad at all. Oh, no. You've definitely spent more than that. Ask your neighbor if he has a few rye. He's like, a what now?
He'll probably actually. I'll have to tell him about that one. See if he ever had it.
It's good
for that price. Grab a few.
I'll say, but I'll say that for me, like that was one that I could say like, yeah, check it out because I was kind of surprised. But even though you like,
and you had it just on the rocks.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of sit for a while.
Still.
But it was. I didn't know literally until I got there. It was just like, I'm like, oh, look at that. It was rye. I didn't even know.
Nice.
He was just suggested something that was similar enough to Jack Daniels. Mm-hmm. That was like the one that they had. Cause I can't remember the other one. I was like, that sounds good. Let me try that. He's like, oh, we don't have that one right now. I'm like,
thanks a lot, asshole.
What are you doing to me?
You're getting my hopes up of things I've never had before.
Totally. Anyway. So, I mean, that's kind of basic. I mean, it's nothing, you know, necessarily like too fancy. I mean, you know, lighting, dark-ish lighting, mm-hmm. You know, stools and tables, you know, standard. Nothing. I mean, I'm not saying anything that's like revolutionary.
Right.
But, you know, kind of like a standard bar, but, you know, just food is a big deal with me because I like to eat. Shocker.
That stands out compared to Ming, where Ming was like, no, we're having karaoke and we're having that kind of atmosphere.
Totally.
You know, where you're like, no, we're going to have a sit down kind of bar, a better Applebee's, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a place you can like hang out like for a while. Like,
right.
Sports and karaoke and all that stuff. That's fine. But there are plenty of those bars. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of bars like what I'm describing as well.
Right.
I'm just saying for my taste, like that's a place I would want to hang out.
It sounds like the Court Jester in Freehold from what you're describing. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just literally a straight bar with a TV that'll probably have the news on it, honestly, for their crowd, because you're right in Freehold Borough. And a decent selection of whiskeys, a decent selection, you know, of different liquors, I should say, beers, and, you know, a seated area for full-on food, like if you're having dinner or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I just like that as an option because there are a lot of bars that just don't do food, or it's like, oh, you can order from next door and bring it in. I know breweries do that a lot,
but there are bars as well.
Right. But there are bars as well.
Right.
Where you have
probably because like, they don't want to pay the ABC law. There's different liquor licenses, at least in New Jersey.
Yes. Well, this I was going to say, like in New York, some places it's the same thing as well. It's like, oh, you can order next door and bring it over if you want.
Okay.
Like, oh, okay. Right. But I know New Jersey, that's a thing because you and Ryan have talked about it.
Every brewery
they can't announce they have food trucks.
The distilleries
be there. It's fucked up.
There was a big fight about that. They can announce that there's going to be a food truck on premise.
Is that right?
They can't say any specials that the food truck may be having. Like Source Brewing over in Colts Neck. They'll announce like, oh, the Thai food. They're big into Thai food over there for some reason. That Thai truck is always there. They'll announce like, oh, yeah, I can't remember the name of the truck, but like, oh, Thai food's going to be outside, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Well, then listen, we're going to give them a run for their food truck money with this bourbon barbacoa. Am I right?
We're doing that.
That sounds like a nightmare.
I guarantee
you. A food truck sounds like a fucking nightmare, actually.
for people like us, yeah, because I'd be neurotic. I'm already bad.
It sounds
even
like
worse.
Fun. Well, you also don't have patience for people either.
No.
I generally don't either, but
my foot would be constantly on the gas and be like, we're not done serving yet.
So, yeah, that's my kind of place. Kind of a... There's an archetype for it.
It's funny because Ming's the one who brings up all the music. I expected that out of you. I thought you would be more of the bringing in band, like a Stone Pony-ish style bar.
But then I look at that as being like a venue. Now there's, well, we went, Ryan and Chris Madden and I went to the what the hell? Oh man, I wish I could remember the name. It was in Asbury Park.
It wasn't the Stone Pony, and no.
Well, we went to it was when we saw Judas Priestess back in March. We went to one of the newer. I mean, I say newer because everything's newish in Asbury Park.
Yeah.
Damn it, I can't remember the name of the place. Otherwise, I would shout them out because it was really cool, and they did have a dude with an acoustic guitar playing covers and
second bottle of Liquid Death.
And a dude on a it may have been a cajon. I don't know.
A cajon?
You heard me.
What the hell is a cajon?
Ming's gonna
Google Ming,
it.
Please.
I would. How do you even spell that?
Is it
C-A-J-O-N. It's a box that you like use cajones? For like auxiliary percussion. I mean, yes and no. It's regular Guitar Center. See, it's a real thing. That's what popped up when he typed in cajon. It's like Guitar Center, New Brunswick, or East Brunswick.
Okay.
I never. It looks like a birdhouse that you can draw on.
And you sit on top of it and you just sit there and tap away at it.
Correct. Okay. Now, I didn't know that until Cape Mark II at Skid Row Studios.
Okay.
My friends in Cockeyed Optimist came and the drummer brought a cajon. I'm like, a what now? I had the same reaction.
That means something else in Spanish. No.
It does.
That's interesting. Okay. I never knew the name of that thing, but I know exactly what it is.
Because it's like, you don't want some asshole with a tambourine next to you.
Right.
So it's
right.
You beating on the box that he gets to sit on. So like, he's got the best job.
Right.
The guitar player's got to stand and sing and strum and mm-hmm. probably has a harmonica around his neck. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
This dude is just, you know, tapping.
Chiving away yeah, over there.
He's just smacking on a box he's sitting on.
Slapping a box.
Shit. I went wrong in my music career.
Apparently. Like, I should have been a drummer.
Yeah, that's
our percussionist in general.
Wrong. I guess it's not too late. Yeah. Like any singer songwriters out there need a cajon player for a bar gig.
I can keep beat. Know. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that what it's all about?
Right.
It's supposed to be.
That's it. I am a human metronome.
And like that was cool. And I'd be down for having something like that, like on certain nights, you know, not necessarily a regular fixture, but I mean, a jukebox for sure, or a Touch Tunes or whatever it is.
Okay. I was expecting kind of like live music.
Yeah, but that'd be like a venue though.
Okay.
Like we're talking about like just a bar.
Yeah.
Like the Stone Pony is, you know, people go there
for the music.
Exactly.
Right.
And there are two bars.
Yeah, but so for me, in my mind with Stone Pony, there's two bars. For a reason, because I mean, look at the fucking place.
Well,
it's a wall.
Yes. But it works. I mean,
yes.
Like for them, it's great.
Like with you, I expected a Maxwell's.
You know what? That is good. But that's more like a restaurant. See, I miss, you know, Maxwell's just closed like last year and I was so.
Was it only last? I thought it was longer than that.
It may have been like just before. Oh, no.
I thought it was COVID.
It was before COVID. My mistake.
Yeah.
It was just before I moved to North Jersey.
Yeah.
And I was so upset.
Yeah.
Because that was a great night. I've been to Maxwell's so many goddamn times.
It was good food.
It was.
And then.
We told this story years ago. So it was.
And then Ginger Wildheart being literally arm's length away from me.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of the
yelling
rare
about Metallica.
U.S. tours and Butch Walker. It was one of the rare U.S. tours the Wildhearts did. And just see, it's a quick story, but it was a great night.
No, it was.
And it was also the last time Andrew saw 3 a.m. This is 2009.
I saw it with both eyes open.
Yeah. And you pointed it out, which is the only reason I know it. We're in the car driving home and like, I can't tell you the last time I saw 3 a.m. And I was like, oh, wow, this is like a milestone moment for you. Good for you, Andrew. So what happened was, the Wildhearts, one of my favorite bands, talked about it many times, but they were doing a rare U.S. tour. I actually saw them twice in 2009, but it was March of 2009, and I remember that because my tax
refund. And it was the Wildhearts, not Ginger.
Not Ginger Solo, correct. Okay. I got my tax refund that morning, and it was a big tax refund because I had to file for California and New Jersey because I moved back to Jersey in 2008, but I lived in California for the first half of 2008. And the federal refund and everything, it was a much bigger refund than I expected. And it just showed up that morning. Anyway, I had tickets for myself, my friend Dan, and my girlfriend at the time. We're going to go to Maxwell's in Hoboken to see the Wildhearts. We're going to have dinner because it was that kind of place where there's a great jukebox and a legit like jukebox with 45s or 7-inch records for you Gen Zs. So they had a great jukebox that they would also rotate. So it wasn't just like the same tired records from 70s classic rock, like Andrew's playlist. But the food was great at the restaurant. If I went and saw a show.
And good drinks too.
Yeah. I would have dinner first and then go to the show.
Yeah.
And I've been to so many shows there. Maybe the venue I've been to the most concerts at between, that was the last time I was there actually. So between 2000 and 2009, Maxwell's may be the venue I saw the most shows at, even up to this day. Anyway. So
I couldn't imagine having a band harder than the Wild Hearts in there because someone's getting hurt. Like, I couldn't imagine a metal show in that tiny little closet.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Someone's getting hurt. You know what? I could see, like, a hardcore punk show going on there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, Bouncing. Even, no, Bouncing Souls isn't hard enough. I'm talking, yeah, like, hard. Something ridiculous. Like, maybe, like, Dead Kennedys back in the day kind of thing.
Yeah, or Black Flag back
Black Flag, yeah.
Bad Brains. Yeah, like one of those bands.
Bad Brains. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And probably, I mean, they probably did come through. I mean,
that
Maxwell's around forever, so I wouldn't be surprised. But anyway, so Dan on the day was just like, oh, I can't go. Like, give Andrew or somebody my ticket. He's like, he doesn't need to pay anything. But like, if Andrew wants to go, like, he can go. And I remember just asking you, like,
yeah,
want to come out tonight? Like, it's going to be fun. Free night. I'm driving, you know, like, everybody's taking care.
Right.
And it must have been a Friday or something because you were like, yeah.
Yeah. It was Friday or a weekend.
Yeah. If it was a school night, Andrew, yeah, no fucking way. No. Even though it was free fun, Andrew's just like, no. Is it happening in Farmingdale? No. Anyway, so we went, we had dinner. Andrew orders, he was trying to be good. This is one of the times where Andrew was like,
yeah,
I got to do something. I'm going to try to manage my weight.
Yeah.
And one Andrew orders a steak salad, and it is a,
it is a fucking porterhouse salad
with a fucking steak. It was sliced up, long strips of steak, but like it was the whole but it was like it looked like it was assembled. Like they cut this thing up after they cooked it and just sat it on top of the salad. And Andrew's like, there's a whole steak.
It's a
here.
Whole ass steak. And it was beautiful.
And I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, I couldn't tell you what I ate, but I just remember that because not only did it look cool, but
like the image, like that. Like it was like, here's some greens and a fucking porterhouse.
Yes, exactly.
I'm like,
they didn't skip. Yeah, this wasn't like a 6 ounce filet.
No. This was a good T-bone.
Totally.
Like,
yeah, it was a good size steak.
And I'm like, I was trying to be good. I'm like, I'm going to have a steak salad because I'm going to have a little bit of steak and more roughage. And they're like, nope, here's the cow.
Yeah. Yes. Here's an entire chunk of this cow. Like, you came on
it
a
was
good,
delicious.
You came on a good night.
It was delicious, but like, you know, nope. Andrew wants to think healthy. No, fuck you.
I mean, steak is okay sometimes.
Yeah.
And at least you had like a solid 14 ounces of veggies that were underneath this 14 ounces of steak.
That was probably the grass the cow is eating before they butchered it.
Maybe. that's how they came up with the steak salad. They're just like
and that
whatever the
good.
Cow didn't
oh,
eat.
Oh, look, dandelion leaves.
And the cow itself. No, it was great. And then we saw the Wild Hearts, which of course were a great show.
Yes.
Ginger's one of the best to ever do it.
You know what it is about, and I've noticed that with singers or with bands in general, is it's the in-between songs.
Yes, the banter.
Yeah, exactly. The banter. That's why I like Opeth, because Mikel has got the driest fucking sense of humor when he's up there. And you saw them with me.
Yeah, at Starland.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. I remember it because I don't remember a lot of the banter, but I just thought it was funny because I don't know it at what point or why, but you knew who Butch Walker was because I would play him in the car.
Yeah.
And it was just funny that in between one of the songs, because I think they played, I know they played, I have the t-shirt actually from, they played a show in New York and in Hoboken. And I think that may have been it. They may have done a show like in the LA area or something, but they didn't do like a full on like US tour, the Wild Hearts. But Ginger had said, I guess they'd been in town for a couple of days. He's like, I went and saw Butch Walker last night and he had a tuner on stage, looked very professional, so I thought I should get one. So he's sitting there tuning in between songs.
Yeah, exactly. He's kneeling was just down, really funny. He's like, nah, fuck this.
Yeah. But he was just like, I thought I should probably get one because it actually looked really professional. You know, dude who's been at it for 20 years at the time. It's pretty funny. No, Maxwell's was a great venue. I mean, geez, that was my first real, one of the trivia questions in K200, the first band I bought a ticket to see.
Oh, was it Maxwell's?
Was the Queers, yeah, at Maxwell's.
Oh, okay.
And I've been to see so many bands. And a friend of mine.
The Queers are kind of pop punky.
Yeah.
Like early pop punk, like late 80s, early 90s? Or
yeah, mid 80s, I think. Okay. I mean, I'm trying to remember exactly. Yeah. Yeah, mid to late 80s is when they started. And they're still around, actually. They're coming
but
around.
More of a.
The last time I saw them, they were
not
awful.
Not a skanking show. Like you're not.
No, not at all. Like a catchy, like, you know, if it, Green Day is the easy. Like,
right.
Okay.
Right,
you like catchy songs with this kind of, you know, up tempo, you know.
Gotcha. Full chord
yes,
rock.
Exactly. But yeah, friend of mine, he saw right before Nevermind blew up, he saw Nirvana at Maxwell's.
Wow.
And right around the time when the first Oasis album came out, he saw them at Maxwell's as well. And I'm like, fuck. Like, cause you've been in that. That's a room.
Yeah. That's a room. It's about as big as a room we're in here. I'd say,
take the curtain down, like if that's where the stage is. Yeah. Probably to the back of the venue.
Yeah. It's not.
And it's the like, size of the studio.
Yeah.
It was a room.
Yeah.
But that's why it was great.
That's why I was saying, like, if a metal act went in there, someone's getting hurt.
Totally.
Totally. There ain't no wall of death or anything going on in that room. Someone's just getting punched. It's like, yeah, oh my God. Just punch the guy next to you. Like.
Probably. Oh, if they came through, forget it. But that was a dream. I'm just like, play Maxwell's one day. Like, that was one of my ambitions as a young musician.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious because, like, I saw, going back to Lamb of God, I saw them on the Headbangers Ball tour. At Starland, and that was the first time I ever, like, because I didn't like their earlier albums. I thought they were very badly produced. They were just very rough sounding.
Yeah.
But then I saw them live, and they blew me the fuck away. Now you know the layout. Starland has like the double or the rise second area around the pit area, so to speak.
Oh, the raised area. Yeah.
They did the wall of death. There were guys jumping over the railing into the fucking pit. I'm like, oh, this is what I'm here for.
Yeah, this is a metal show.
Exactly.
This is why I came out.
And now my cousin is. He saw the Metal Tour of the Year with them and Megadeth and Trivium was there. He's got videos. Like, he was like close to Randy.
It was a pretty solid tour.
And it's
tour,
stacked
actually.
Again. It's they've got it going on again. Yeah, it's a stacked tour. Nice. And he's like, you want to go? I'm like,
just go, man. Life's too short. Go. You love Lamb of God. I mean, you up to a point.
I did. And now Adam, whom you met. We are probably going to go up to New York to, it was Hammerstein. They moved it to King Something's Theater in Brooklyn. I can't remember what the name of the theater is, to see Heilung, that proto-German band. Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Wow. That's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, it is, because not only are the fans going to be dressed up in cosplay, I guarantee to you. So, if you know anything about that band, it's all like kind of like druid chanting style music. But one of the cool things that they do is when they go to a place that isn't Germany, essentially, because that's where they're from.
Right.
They will call upon whatever the native tribe was of that area. So for us here in New Jersey, it's Lenape, the Lenape Indians.
Right.
So they will contact, if there is a local Lenape authority or if there is a tribe here in New Jersey, and ask them to come and bless the stage.
Really?
In traditional form.
Okay, that's pretty bad.
Like actual, they did it at the Red Rocks festival. I don't know what tribe of Indian it was, but like the band members come out and then whomever the tribe is came out and they did traditional indigenous ceremony for like an opening kind of thing. And then Heilung did their stuff.
That's pretty amazing.
That's just respect. That's all that is when it comes down to it.
Right. Which is great, though.
It is.
I love it. I believe it's Cape 154. We talked about them.
Heilung?
Yes.
Okay.
Just if anybody wants to go back
and
check it out. Like, I'm looking on my... That's the only reason I'm checking my phone right now.
Oh, yeah. That's the one where you made me have the background so I can have the horns.
Yes. So, and if you watch a clip, if you also go to the YouTube channel, which just search Chris Ballas Podcast Experiment, and all the videos are going to show up. And subscribe while you're there.
Yeah.
But there's also a video in the pre-show where I almost made Andrew choke to death on water, which was pretty amazing as well. And confirmed as I'm scrolling through the YouTube channel. Yes, Cape 156, my one-on-one with Ming Chen. Definitely check that out to hear more about his story. And we'll get more into the dive bar stuff in part two, because we got to do another one. Ming and I have talked about doing like 30 shows. We've talked about like, we should do an episode about this. We should do an episode about that. But at this point, they're going to have to be on Zoom because he's always on the road.
Write those ideas down, my friend. Write them down.
Dude, I have them. I have them on my phone.
It's pinning him down, pinning you down. That's the issue
now.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. If it's Zoom,
yeah, good luck with that.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. It's like when the dude's out of town, he's busy interviewing Trish Stratus and then hanging out at a post party. Like, he didn't have time for my bullshit. He's got to do it here, but otherwise, he's like, that's it. Is this going in a story?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's right. Ming's filming us right now.
So the last thing I wanted to mention was I heard this on another show that I listened to, so I want to transfer it over, was this series of tweets.
Okay.
It's things that men don't understand about a woman's body.
Oh my God. I don't know if we have enough time.
And these are the funnier things. These aren't like, you know, with the Roe versus Wade nonsense that fucking went on with the overturning of that and the fucking fake triots and all that other gun. I mean, exactly. So I want to bring the mood up. So these are funny things that men have said to women because they don't fucking get it. So it started. Okay. So these are all tweets. It started with the user Peach PRC. And she says, my ex thought the eggs in my ovaries had shells on them. And I think about this every time a man makes a decision about a woman's body.
I mean, what? Go on.
I knew a guy who, this is a different user. This is HelloCoffee17. I knew a guy who thought during your period, it was the blue liquid they used in the commercials and not blood. They also use that same blue liquid. Now, if anybody's had kids, they use that same blue liquid in like Huggies commercials too. Like, come on. I wish it was that easy.
Yeah, imagine if that came out of your kid. I mean, it's fucked up. That'd be pretty horrendous. It's
like, these are people,
have you ever eaten a pack of Twizzlers in one sitting?
Yeah. Oh,
and then you
God.
Go to the bathroom and you think you're dying? Like, my insides are coming out of me.
These are all replies to the original Peach PRC tweet.
Okay.
So
each one's a different user.
Like, yeah, everyone's a different user. Like, okay. So there's another one. Up until last week, my ex thought Plan B pills were the same thing as abortion.
Of course. That's part of the problem. That's a big part of the problem, but...
My ex thought you only bled on your period while sitting on the toilet and it only lasted a day. He thought I lied about my period lasting 5 days to avoid sex. That's a little misogynistic in my book.
A little?
My friend's boyfriend thought women just shake over the toilet instead of wiping. So the show I listened to, there's a female host on there also, and she's like, yeah, we're, you know, after we finish, we do a twerk over the fucking toilet to get all of it out. Like, what the fuck is your problem? I once asked a guy, how often does he think women have to change their tampons? He said, once a week. My husband.
All 52 weeks?
My husband. Husband.
Oh my God, they live with some of these.
Thought
men.
You go to a doctor when you're pregnant, then just show up at any hospital and whomever is there delivers your baby.
Oh my God.
I bled a little once after having sex because my period started and my ex asked if I laid an egg. My ex thought that I only had one egg. I told
you're like a chicken, right? Because it's got a shell on it. You
I
only have one
mine,
at a time.
I had blood in my urine and needed to see a doctor, and he said maybe it's your period. My fiance thought my uterus was full of air, and when I said it wasn't, he asked, "How doesn't the baby asphyxiate?"
Oh my God.
A woman on Reddit said her boyfriend thought women's periods came out of their butts because his high school girlfriend once mentioned period poops. My ex-boyfriend once asked me, why didn't I try to hold my period blood like we do when we pee? How many more of these? Okay,
you know, holding blood isn't actually a thing.
There's two more. I saw a TikTok where a man thought he stuck pads to our vagina like plasters.
Like it's Velcro or something.
And the last is, I didn't realize women had urethras until I was 25. That's a man.
Of course it's a man. Of course it's a man. Leave all the dumb shit to men. Oh my God. See, this is why women are compelled to say things like my body, my choice, because men don't have a fucking clue. Like they don't.
No. And that just...
And like you can't write this shit. Like if you put 16 comedy writers in a room, like they probably wouldn't come up with this.
No.
Just go looking for like actual conversation. It's like, yeah, guys are really, really stupid.
Yeah. And, it, you know, listen, they countered on the show I listened to. They countered that with a listener text in and said that his girlfriend turned around and asked where the bone was after they finished having sex. Because she thought it was actually boner or they were boning. Like,
yeah, but that's in the minority.
Yeah, like, that's definitely.
There's no comparison between that.
And if you've got, that's a bimbo, like.
Yeah, like that's dumb beyond repair. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, listen, every group has one.
But the rest of those are like things you should have learned in fucking high school. Like,
yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it, especially with our sex education classes when we were younger.
Because we went to public school.
Yeah, we're not the greatest. But still, like, you think after so many years of living, you would have just, like, taken these things in by osmosis, maybe?
I mean, here's a wild thought. Why don't you talk to a woman? About stuff other than, like, you know, like those memes. It's like, so the, you know, where it's like the dude talking about like band shit a woman doesn't care about, sports shit a woman doesn't care about, where it's like, you know, the hot girl like rolling her eyes while the guy's like, you see, he's standing really intensely talking about something. It's like,
especially if you're in a serious relationship with a girl, you should talk to them about these things. Maybe go to the doctor with them once in a while.
Oh God. Yeah. Go to a gynecologist.
Meet their gynecologist. Like, even if you know you're going to break up with the girl, meet the gynecologist because maybe they're hiding something that you didn't know about. You know, like, anything. Come on,
Doctor,
guys.
Is anything alive up there?
Yeah.
I swear I felt something moving.
I swear it smells really bad.
Something's been on my dick. Like, you check see if there's a creature in there?
All I heard was somebody yelling.
There, you know what? There's an amazing. I am going to recommend. There's a great audiobook which I actually just re-listened to, strictly for entertainment purposes. Give me a second because it's on my phone because I'm about halfway through it, so I'm pulling this up right now. It is called You Up. It's a compilation from Thought Catalog, which is people's experiences with dating and sex and all sorts of stuff. Some of it disgusting, basically all of it funny, some of it sad. It's a mixture of sad, funny, and disgusting. So it's worth it. It's a short, it's like an hour audiobook. Like, it's a really short thing. So even if you just buy it straight
so
up,
it's text
like
from last night.
$2.
No.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. I mean, it is, but it's actually people sharing their stories. It's a lot of, you know, 20-somethings, okay, maybe early 30s, okay, talking about frustrations with dating and, you know, their sex lives and things like that. It is, it's entertaining,
yeah,
and shocking. And yeah, it's the 21st century version of Madonna Truth or Dare is basically what I'm saying. There's a nice modern reference from a 30-year-old documentary. But yeah, it's pretty amazing listening to it and just how stupid. I mean, there are dumb women, we all know this, but like guys are just stupid on a
no, we're cavemen.
Different level.
We're cavemen. We're absolute cavemen.
But for God's sake, talk to women. It's not that. I don't know. And I realize guys struggle with the idea that women are little more than just, you know,
objects,
things to breed with.
Yeah.
But goddamn.
those are special. I know. I heard.
I feel like those are the rule more than the. I think we're the exception, and that's the rule. Yes, if I'm being honest.
Like, part of me is like, really, guys? Like,
yeah.
You never had the talk before? Like,
no. No.
So
those guys are going to end up with daughters. Just think about that.
Yeah. And if I'm spazzing out having a daughter, and I know these things, like these are obviously laughable to me.
Mm-hmm.
What are these going to do? I'm pointing to my phone with the tweets. What are these people going to do when they have
exactly
to
what they're
do?
La, la, la,
yeah, exactly.
La, la,
la. Mommy can handle it.
Yeah. Talk to your mother.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to know.
Or they're going to go out and try and buy cigarettes and never come back.
Probably.
So, yes, those are my contributions to
Dude,
the show.
Dude, that's pretty. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but the depth of stupidity is.
Just keeps getting.
There's no bottom. There's no bottom to the stupidity of men.
The bar has been lowered and you dug underneath it.
Yeah. The bar is pretty low. And yet.
Yeah. You still found a way.
We found a way. All right. We've been having fun. Obviously, we've had a lot of fun, and not to fleece you people. And and be like, this has been a laugh riot. It's an hour, right? Yeah. Show's over. It's been great. I'll say this. This has been a very welcome distraction, if I'm being honest. Just the fact we're able to come in here and laugh and, you know, Ming's able to pull up images of every goddamn thing we talk about, which is perfect. It's perfect. Just because we can look at the monitor and just be like, there it is. Look at that steak chopped up on that salad. Looks delicious.
Fuck that. It's broccoli.
And we come in here and we have fun. That really is the whole thing with Cape. We have fun.
Fuck and you, Ming. You just let them...
He just looks up broccoli. Google images. Just so there's broccoli on the screen. Oh, goddamn. Broccoli, he's helping the ante, everybody. Pictures of broccoli and cheese. I mean, cheese on anything is, you know, that's like porn, if I'm being honest.
Ryan needs to be here. There isn't enough cheese in the world.
For me, there's not enough cheese in the world. Trust me. But then
lactose intolerance be damned.
Yeah, I'll have whiskey and Chipotle belly tomorrow, though. And therein lies the problem. Not to mention, I'll have to go shopping for new pants. But anyway, bigger pants. Anyway, mm-hmm. We have fun. We have fun on this show, and occasionally, though, real life intrudes, and it's hard to avoid. And I was debating even getting into this. I drive to the studio tonight just because I thought, you know, the show is entertainment. It's escapism. But at the same time, like we don't get super personal about everything.
No, we normally have those talks in the green room.
We do.
Kind of stuff.
We have those talks kind of pre-show, post-show, or when we're just hanging out and those get on two rare times when we do hang out, which this is another firm reminder of that. I have to keep it vague because I did not, it's not my business to share, and I certainly was not going to ask this person about it, but it's something I'm dealing with. And so basically, the day we're recording this, as of last night, one of our loved ones lost a loved one suddenly.
Yeah.
And it was a case where literally through some very standard medical testing, just rudimentary, you know, we all have it done testing.
Right.
Something was found 1 month ago, and this man passed away last night.
Yeah.
And mid-30s, has a wife of 3 years and a 1.5-year-old son. And, you know, when things like this happen, I tend to retreat into myself. I don't know that that's the healthiest way to deal with it. I mean, everybody deals with grief and,
yeah.
you know, in their own way. But I get very... I retreat inside myself and I get very existential, as we probably all do.
That's your memento mori. That's what happens to you.
I've seen that on a t-shirt. What does that mean?
Memento mori it literally means remember you are mortal. Remember you will die.
Yes.
And that's what that is. It is a literal, especially with how close this individual was to our circle.
Yes. This is in the family.
Yeah,
this is somebody in the family.
So it is a bit of a memento mori. And, you know, Chris, you were saying you've retreated into yourself. And me, because it's not directly affecting me, and this isn't meant to hurt the person who it is affecting, I don't know how to process it. Hmm. But I can say that if that person needs me, or either one of us, obviously.
For sure, yeah. You know, and then we were clear about that. I mean, you found out about this today. I found out last night.
Yeah, and it's a sledgehammer.
It is. It's one of those things, you know, it's like... It's hard for me to reconcile. I mean, it's very rare that you can say, well, they lived a good life and it was just time and all that. It seems that.
Not with something like this.
No. Well, with most cases, yeah. I mean, if I'm being honest, like June has been a bad month in terms of losing people. I mean, I talked about it last year on Cape 171 that I did kind of an impromptu eulogy for my Uncle Al, who passed away, and it was the week of
the Navy man, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he was in the battleship Missouri.
Yes, 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 yes.
And if you want to hear that, that's at the end of Cape 171.
That was actually a really cool story that you told.
Yeah, well, I should put that as a video clip, and I probably will. So maybe this week that'll be like the throwback clip that goes up on Thursday. Is I'll put that out as a bit of a eulogy. And but that was something where we were finally getting together the first weekend in June for a memorial service for my aunt, who passed away in May of 2020, non-COVID related. But she'd been living with dementia for about 8 years.
Oof.
So it was a decline. It was a decline she wasn't aware of. My uncle, her service was Saturday. My uncle passed away that Wednesday. And my father's two oldest surviving siblings. And her memorial service was Saturday. His viewing was Sunday. His funeral and burial was Monday, and it was really, really heavy. June of 2019, I lost one cousin on each side, and the one cousin on my mother's side was 38. She was a year older than me, and it was a sudden thing, and it's tough to process when, you know, again, it's never like, oh, so-and-so had enough time. But it's also one of those things where I'm sorry, and my parents hate when I say things like this because I'm not a fatalist, and I'm certainly, you know me, I'm not a pessimist or anything like that. But like, it seems like for almost everybody, it's going to end horribly. And I really don't mean that to be negative. It's just you never look at somebody I understand the idea of like someone passing away in their sleep, you know, peacefully in their sleep, something like that. But it seems like there's always a decline, if not something incredibly sudden and unexpected. Or, you know, in this case, it was literally a month.
So then my response to that would be, especially right now, it's hard to, because obviously everything's so sudden and
it's very, very fresh.
But that's when, and I'm not talking about this particular passing, I'm talking about you, yes. Chris Abalo,
mm-hmm.
make your mark. That's why a memento mori is a thing. The story with memento mori is that when a Roman emperor would be parading back into town after a victory, he would apparently have a slave with him on the chariot whispering in his ear those two words, memento mori, remember you are mortal, because of that high that you get of obviously winning a basketball game, winning a victory or something like that. You're like, I'm invincible. And that's where the the idea of that comes from. Yeah, see, there you go. Memento mori. You see me wear that all the time. I always have. I love that phrase, and that's my mantra in a way.
I have a t-shirt, actually, that I haven't worn yet.
Yeah, it's it's a trope, yeah. Yeah, it's a reminder of the inevitability of death. Yep. It's all over the place. And that's where the skull and bones come from. That's where all of that. But it you don't take that as a negative thing. You should take it as a positive. You should take it as a reminder to, yeah, you know, you want everyone, including what's the phrase? You want everyone, including the Undertaker, to cry at your funeral, you know, because of the impact that you made.
I want nobody to cry at my funeral. I want you to celebrate me.
I mean, I know that's what I'm saying. Like, you know,
that's bullshit. To, yeah, and I know it is. Yeah. That's obviously my theory. I mean, it's going to be, knowing me, it'll be a video will. But because why not?
We're going to have a Viking funeral. So,
no, that's for you. We talked about that. That was in a reel that went up last week, actually.
My mother actually brought that out to me. She's like,
did she see that?
Yeah, she saw it. She saw it. The Vikings reel.
I think she liked it on TikTok. And I was like, Andrew's mother's on TikTok?
Yeah, she is. The tree one where I talked about how.
Revelation.
Yeah, where you're put into a plant in a pot.
In a
that's illegal in New Jersey so far.
Fuck?
You can't have that in Jersey. You can have a Viking funeral, so your burning body can go be deposited into the Atlantic, but you can't be turned into a tree pot.
That's fucked up. Why?
But whatever.
Why not?
Why not?
Sorry,
exactly.
No, that's
why
a whole
not?
Other. Yeah. That's a whole.
Trying to bring light to the situation.
No, I know. I mean, it's frustrating to hear, unfortunately, because we're gonna have to take you to probably Florida. Anything goes in Florida. Oh, fuck. I don't want to be buried in Florida. Can I at least go to Harry Potter World? Can it be near there?
Yeah, anyway. Put me near Universal or something.
That's it. Yeah, somewhere. Anders wants to be near Hogwarts. Place near
Star
dear
Wars.
Heart
Star
in
Wars,
life.
Yeah.
Really?
Veronica, for me, Star Wars.
What if we have two pots made?
All right, fine.
Okay. We're working. Listen, I need something. We don't know what, you know, whatever time we get is luck. So I need something to go back to point to just be like, Andrew
sever
said,
me
in,
to sever me in twain and split my body between the Pottermores.
Drawn and quartered. That's it. But anyway, and you're right. Honestly, when things like this happen, what I do after kind of getting my head around it is I end up getting hyper-focused. Mm. I mean, all the shit that doesn't matter just kind of fades into the background.
Right.
And then the things that are really important come into very, very strong focus. It sucks that it takes that reminder, but at the same time, you know, we all have a ticking clock.
You need that slap in the face.
I did. I mean, look, I've talked more recently about, you know, the past and the musical past and stuff like that, that I'm kind of, that I've kind of made peace with. I'm not going to get into that too much now, but like I've been more open about that recently because that was a part I kind of disconnected from, made a conscious effort to disconnect from because it was painful. But back in 2003, after, you know, the anniversary just passed when I said I saw the Yellow Matter Custard, Beatles tribute show in New York City. And 6 months later in November, they did a Led Zeppelin tribute show, a similar lineup. Hammer of the Gods. And it was following that show that I got a call from one of my close friends from high school. We were still friends at the time. We've just drifted apart since. Saying that she was effectively my first girlfriend, had passed away, who was, it was just before her 22nd birthday. Her birthday was the beginning of November. She was 21. She was going to be graduating from Boston University, I believe. I don't think it was Boston College. Pretty sure it was Boston University. They're two, right? It doesn't matter.
Whatever.
She was on the dean's list. I mean, it was everything. She had her whole future ahead of her. She was going to be graduating that spring, and she didn't even make it to 22. And it was one of those things where I didn't even believe it. I was in a daze from the show was at B.B. King's on 42nd Street. There used to be a Chevy's next door. So we went there after the show. That's where I got the call. I was in a daze when we left Chevy's the entire drive back home. And
were you driving?
Until no.
Okay,
no,
I was gonna say
no, I didn't drive into the city in those days.
Okay.
And it wasn't real until literally I went home and I saw her obituary in the paper, and it was just just became real. But and what that did was, you know, at that point I was 2.5 years into, you know, our retail job that I was just like, oh my God, it's been 2 years already. But you know, I had just turned 22 myself, and it was one of those things where I said, what am I doing? I need to do something. I need to focus more on what it is I want to do because I'm here.
Right.
And I did, you know, just over 6 months later, took my first trip to Los Angeles, you know, toward the campus of Musicians Institute, and all that stuff happened, which again, had I not, you know, who knows how things would have played out in the last 19 years had I not gone to that show in April 2003. Things like this do tend to pull things into focus. And that was actually one of the positives, as difficult of a weekend as that was last June. My extended family, you know, all got together, and that's where I'm very lucky. I don't think I've said this enough on the show. But I'm very lucky that I have a very supportive immediate and extended family when it comes to doing this. And when it comes to my creative endeavors, and my father is the youngest of 10. So most of my first cousins are in their 50s and 60s. Frankly, at this point, a bunch of them are retired. Now, when I have them, people who have had careers, raised families, are retired. I can't tell you how many of them, I probably could if I stopped to think about it, but so many of them came up to me because they've been seeing I'm doing the show, because I'm cranking out weekly videos and all that stuff, and they see it and they're supportive. And them telling me, don't give up. You keep doing it. Don't stop. You don't know how far this thing's going to go. The right person's going to hear it. The right person's going to see it. And not that I didn't know that already, but to hear the reinforcement from somebody who's retired, who's, you know, lived most of their life, have them be like, you keep doing that. That really...
Oh, of course.
That means something to somebody I've seen this movie already. You know what I mean? Like, you should stick this out. And like, I'm going to do it anyway. You know, that's the whole thing. But just to hear that, to have that reinforcement is just like, yeah, I need to do whatever I want. I need to do all the things that I want to do, because I don't, you know, this is finite. You know, it's very easy to feel invincible, obviously, when you're in your 20s and little things like that when you're 22 that kind of bring you back down to earth and remember, oh, right. You know, and in a case like this where it's, you know, here's somebody again, he's just it's hard to reconcile, you know, just if anybody was in that position, you know, a month ago, 5 weeks ago, this person had no idea that they were as far along with their illness as they were until they found out through very, very standard medical testing. And they woke up yesterday and today they're gone. By the time the show goes out, the service will have passed. Again, we're not going to speak about who it is, but
there's one quote that I do want to say.
Sure.
From Albert Pike. What we have done for ourselves alone dies with us. What we have done for others and the world remains and is immortal.
Yes.
So make your mark.
Yeah. And, you know, I've said it tongue in cheek many times. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a kind of a compilation. If you go to my Instagram right in January, I kind of did like a tribute to, you know, Cape in 2021 with everybody involved. It wasn't just like, you know, me jerking off for 2 minutes about how great I am. It was actually like, you know, all the guests, especially everybody who made their debut and, you know, all of that, the interview guests and us at the studio and, you know, the guys from Shared Universe. And, you know, I said in part of that is just like, you know, as long as the internet exists, we're immortal. And, you know, I know that's kind of tongue in cheek and a bit self-serving, but it also is true. It's just like, we will always be able to point to this and just be like, this is what we did. And that was even my perspective 12 years ago, to bring it back to that, when we started doing the only podcast, just like, this is a moment in time.
Right.
And it's a good thing we did do it.
It's our little time capsule.
And it will continue to be. Same as this is. We're in different places now 12 years ago than we were. We couldn't have talked about bars we would have had and, you know, brown liquor we would have been drinking.
Yes.
Until
and cigars that we'd be smoking until and now. Everything else.
Yeah, speak for yourself there, hacking Drew. So
I saved all episode. I didn't hack once this episode.
No, you didn't. You got that all out beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. Just,
one of these days, I'm going to design a mobile game. It's going to be Hacking Drew's Quest for Breath. That's what
Fuck
it's going to be.
You, Ming. Because... Is he God,
and we're ending the show with some levity. Good man, that's dude. Send me that gift, please. I need that.
I'm not
gift.
Paris Hilton.
No, it's South Park Paris Hilton. It's okay. Well, but she's coughing up like a jizz load for sure. So this was going to go up on YouTube. This is where people are tuning out.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. And now he's just looking up random.
Yeah, this is taking a turn. Yeah, like, this was actually kind of serious.
This
and,
pen is these guys, royal
these guys were blue. Showing emotion, and now, anyway, so yeah, make your mark.
We have to live
your life.
We have to,
and you, you know, do it. Take care of yourself. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Take care of everyone else. Because we don't know. I mean, it's truthfully, like, whatever time we get is luck. You know, it's a strange life. You know, but you can't have the, you know, sweet without the bitter and, you know, all that other stuff. You know, no. All those other cliches. They are cliches for a reason, but they're cliches nonetheless. So, anyway, that's that. Well, to this gentleman, we'll do a
yes.
We'll do a toast to
a salute.
This gentleman, Andrew, to your health.
Yeah.
Despite the cigars and yeah. heavy drinking,
Ming.
And
to him, yeah. to his family.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, keep it's hard to say keep them in your thoughts, or, you know, say a prayer or something like that, because we're being ambiguous, but
tots and pears.
Excuse me?
Don't worry about it.
Okay. I know what you're saying.
Yes,
it's,
I know.
It's just funnier to be like, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, well, that's it for this week. Once again, a lot of range on the show.
Yeah.
And
it's a spectrum.
It is. We got a pretty wide spectrum. But you know what? That's fun.
Yeah.
Because this is the show.
We can play with everything.
I've been saying that. Like, we are doing the show that I want to hear, honestly.
I hope more people want to hear it.
Exactly. There's nothing like this. I will say that. This show has enough of a personality that people are like, wow. It's definitely the best show in a shared universe. Ming can't admit it because he's got paying clients, but he knows.
We pay him to say yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, as long as you guys are in here, you're my favorite. It's amazing. Anyway.
And there goes your mic.
Once again, yeah. It's like,
he just got cut off.
You're not getting your files till Sunday night, bitch. It's like, how do you like that?
Files? What anyway. Files? Delete.
Hey, I paid for those. Well, you're not getting them. I'm busy. I'm off to Georgia. Yeah. I don't know where he's going.
Alabama.
Is it Alabama? Oh, yeah. Nice.
Ming, yes, tell them where
Alabama.
You're going to be.
I'll be at Birmingham, Alabama, Magic City.
Oh, that's going to be gone, though. It's the weekend's going to pass.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah, that's it.
Man, I had fun there. Listen,
thank you to all the dive bars.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
You have no idea.
And Trish Stratus.
You have no idea.
And Amy Dumas, yes. And Mickey James.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
There you go, Jack. He's with three of them.
Yeah, Jack is just seething with jealousy.
He absolutely
is. He was so
is.
Fucking jealous that he's like, Ming got to hang out with Trish Stratus. He literally sends me Ming's post on Instagram with the caption, "This motherfucker." And it was perfect. Because I knew.
Ming, do you have Jack's number? Because we're going to give you Jack's number just so you can send him embarrassed. Like, hey, guess what?
Oh, we're totally doing that. It's like, you need to torture.
Guess who I'm with. Yeah.
Oh, please.
All the time. Oh, my God.
It'll be even funnier because he doesn't have your number. So if he just gets a random photo of you. Dude, please, please do it. Just to torture him. Because again, you're living the life and you know it. Brag. Jack's sitting home just, you know, just trying to get his wife pregnant and watching AEW. So,
hey,
you know,
maybe like, that'll help.
Oh,
that'll
shit.
That'll help.
That will.
Ming will be the muse that gets Jack and his wife pregnant if he sends him pictures of Trish Stratus, Mickey James.
That's right.
And Amy Dumas, also known as Lita.
And then next March, we can welcome young Ming DeFranco into the world. I like it.
That's a great ending for the show. That's what we're doing.
Exactly. So subscribe, share, follow, all that good stuff. Thank you for listening, of course, as always. And you can follow Ming Chen on Twitter and Instagram at MingChen37. He's on TikTok as well, MingChen3737. Some asshole took MingChen37, apparently. And you can follow Andrew on the socials as well, Metal_Drew.
Yep.
TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. And yeah, that's it. And the extended branch on all the podcast platforms as well.
Yes,
as
thank you,
YouTube.
Chris.
So yeah, of course. Yeah, I knew, because otherwise you'd be like, you didn't plug the show. All right, I'm sorry.
No.
I plug your show. I'm kidding. And you can follow me on Twitter at Chris Abalo and Instagram at Chris Sells Out. And once again, Cape Pod, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And we'll be back next Monday with another load of bullshit for you to listen to. No, listen, we have fun here.
Yeah.
We do. But you know, again, real life intrudes sometimes, and we got to talk about it. So
we do.
Why not? But that is it for this week. So until next time, for Andrew and Ming, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.